Welcome to the show.
I'm Mikey.
And it's your girl, Zayday.
We are two social justice warriors dedicated to dismantling systems of oppression through a black queer feminist lens.
Yes, this podcast will cover a variety of topics ranging from politics in our country to which new bop you can twerk to.
Yep, and while we're twerking, y'all can start following. Search Black to the Future on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Join in the conversation.
And don't forget to leave positive reviews for us on your streaming platform.
Yes, please leave positive reviews. With the reach of this podcast, we desire to change the world one episode at a time.
Yep, and I think it's time we get started, don't you think?
Yep, let's get it.
The past is gone. The present is an adventure. Looks like it's time to go black to the future. Cue the theme music.
Yeah. So proud of what we see. We hope you're listening. Oh, we wanna fill you up with the real tea. Bridge the gap and show you what we see. So go on, spread the word. Tell them what you heard.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Black to the Future podcast. Yes, we are black again. Black for real up in this bitch, y'all. I am living. This is Saturday after Beyonce's album came out. Renaissance Act 1, which implies more acts are coming later. Girl, I am living. I have seen nothing but happiness and positivity on my timeline. And even though my conspiracy theories about Drag Race and all that kind of stuff and blah, 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 blah didn't come true, I'm still living. I love this album. She did an amazing job. And if you haven't listened to it, you got to give it at least a Q1 through. Like, you have to give it through. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, this episode is going to be about particularly Black trans joy. There's so much negativity and so much hostility and so much vitriol towards the Black community, particularly Black queer people, specifically Black trans folks. So I want to just take a moment to celebrate some of the good things that are happening for, you know, Black queer people, specifically Black trans people, Black trans women. I am over the moon. This album has been on repeat. It's perfect. It's seamless. I've seen so many great comments about it and stuff like that. And this is just one of the things that is like going really, really well in our community right now that I'm living for. So, of course, Beyonce's album Renaissance, we've been talking about it ever since it debuted, like Break My Soul back, you know, in a few months, about a month ago. Ever since then, we've been talking about it. So, you know, this was coming. This is going to be a light review and just giving our flowers to our Black queer creatives whom she referenced and who she wrote this album and created this album for and stuff like that. So if maybe y'all don't get it because you're not Black queer people, you're not part of the community, but girl, get into it because this is it. Like, I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. So let me read what B wrote, because she wrote about this and what the album meant. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it a little bit or take out certain parts. But let's see. This album was specifically written for her Uncle Johnny. And her Uncle Johnny was one of the girls. Shout out to Uncle Johnny. So she writes, "A big thank you to my Uncle Johnny. He was my godmother and the first person to expose me to a lot of the music and culture that served as inspiration for this album. Thank you to all of the pioneers who originate culture, to all of the fallen angels whose contributions have gone unrecognized for far too long. This is a celebration for you. Thank you to," thanks her crew and everybody. But anyway, this album is for Black queer people. This is it. This is it. It's I love it. I'm so happy. Even in her second album, like, we knew Beyonce was here for us. Like, we knew, like, when she had "Snap for the Kids, Snap for the Kids, Snap in a Circle 3 times, clack, clack, clack," we knew she was here for us. And so, like, over the years, she just slowly just opened it up and just let it be known, like, she is here for the girl, she's here for us, and blah, 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 blah. It's everything. So I'm very thankful that we have a figure like her who is here for the kids, here for the dolls, here for the girls. This is everything. Thank you, Queen Mother Beyonce. We thank you. It's important. You put in our culture at the focal point, on the forefront, we should be celebrated, you know, with shows like Legendary and stuff coming up and getting bigger and things like that. There's so much culture that's underground for Black queer people. And it's high time we receive the praise that we deserved. You know, we're not just out here just, you know, I don't know what people think we be doing. Obviously think we having sex and being deviant creatures. It's just like, no, we are trying to survive, and we've created these families and created this entire subculture. And now this subculture is like all over TV and stuff. And people be like, oh, I'm going to throw shade. Or people be like, oh, what's the tea? You weren't there. I wasn't there for the creation, but I am immediately adopted into it because I'm part of the culture. So if you don't know what's the tea, if you didn't know that the girls were trans women, then you might have to take a step back. If you didn't know the dolls were trans women, you might have to take a step back. Like, no shade, no tea. If you think that pussy, puss, puss, cunt, 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 cunt is rude and offensive, you just don't know the culture. So I just want to thank Beyonce for putting our culture, and I'm really starting to get myself immersed into it as well. You know, through my transness and my transition, I have discovered certain parts of myself that I am starting to appreciate and love even the more. And then, you know, the kids that I get to be in community with and work with and support through my work and doing this podcast and other stuff like that, they've just gotten me into the culture, and I live for it. I love our culture. So not only did she pay reverence to her Uncle Johnny, who apparently made her prom dress, and it was a cute little dress, you know, it's cute. But she was like, those other girls look a mess. I'm like, not Beyonce's reading. She is reading the girls. I was like, work. But not only did she give reverence to her Uncle Johnny, but there are literal legendary, iconic Black queer trans people on these tracks. She sampled things, like, she went and got, baby. So firstly, on the track, the song's in order. So let me read the song title. So "I'm That Girl," "Cozy," "Alien Superstar," which is warming up on me quite a bit, "Cuff It," "Energy," "Break My Soul," "Church Girl." If you want to throw some ass, "Church Girl." The irony, I live for it. I love it. "Plastic Off the Sofa," "Virgo's Groove," "Move," Heated, which I played a little bit of Heated at the beginning of the episode. Thick with the Q-E, with Q-U-E. All up in there. And then America Has a Problem, Pure Honey. And then Summer Renaissance. So this makes me feel like there's going to be more renaissances happening. And I'm ready. I'm living. Because this is act one. So I'm living. But anyway, on different tracks, she sampled different Black queer people. Or she had them help produce and all that kind of stuff. That's a big fucking deal. She is queen mother. So to have her reach out and contact you and be like, can you be on this track? Or can I borrow your sample? Or da-da-da-da-da. Baby, you can take whatever you want. Put it in... Baby, and I know that NDA was strong because I know some of the girls in Community, and I'm just like, how did you hold this? I'm living. Anyway, so on the track Cozy, in the background, you can hear T.S. Madison's monologue about being Black and being proud of being Black and being beautiful, because a lot of cishet Black people don't think that because we are trans or we're queer, that somehow cancels out our Blackness. And it's like, no, we still Black. What the fuck? So I love that she had that on there. It gives me everything. And then we also have Honey Dijon, who is actually a Chicago native from the South Side. Shout out to her. She helped produce the track. She's a DJ. And she also worked on Cozy, and she worked on Alien Superstar. So live for that. Love that so much. Y'all can look these people up. I'm putting some information in the bottom about each person too, so y'all can look them up. Because I'm learning things along with y'all too. And then, of course, we have Break My Soul, which of course had Big Freedia on it. And I was complaining about the features not being there. Part of me gets it, but part of me is like, I would love for people to give them, I would love for her to have given them that look like, ooh, go check out these people. Because that would have been like the thing. Rather than it staying underground, you know, I'm sure she paid them their coins, but at the same time, I would have loved if they was like featuring X, Y, and Z, you know, if you're going to use their voice or use their sample, like give them what they going to give them their flowers, honey. So, that's Break My Soul, of course. And then, which we've already played, I think on the episodes already. And then let's see. We also have Syd, S-Y-D, is a black queer artist as well. And so they worked on Plastic Off the Sofa. Love that. That is sickening. And then I personally love Heated. Heated is my shit. Like, I love I love Heated. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And so then, of course, we have Pure Honey. So Pure/Honey, this one, I'm going to play this on the outro. I'm definitely going to play Pure Honey. I'm going to play it on the outro because this shit, this is ballroom. This is ballroom, where ballroom is at right now. And so on Pure Honey, we have Kevin Jay-Z, Prodigy from the, and so she samples Feels Like. And so DJ Mike Q, who actually is the DJ on Legendary, from his EP Let It All Out, they sampled the song Feels Like, and it's so good. It's so cutty. Oh, it's everything. And Beyonce even gets it there. She'd be like, yes, yes, Mom. Like, oh, she gives it. And then of course, we also have Moi Renee, and then Kevin Aviance, Miss Honey, and then Cunty. And I'm gonna play it at the end, so y'all can hear it. It's everything. I live for it. I'm so excited. This is what we needed as Black queer people. We needed a moment of spotlight. We need a point of liberation and freedom in this kind of way, so people can see how talented and how integral we are to community, particularly the Black community. We are so integral to it. I'm going to, of course, put links in the description down there about each one of these persons. Of course, I know Kevin Prodigy, Kevin Aviance, and Big Freedia, and T.S. Madison, and Honey Dijon. You know, I've known those people for quite a while. But Moi Renee, and then Syd, I don't really know too much about. And, of course, I know DJ Mike Q. But, you know, there's so much culture in there, and there's so much more for even me to learn. So I know sometimes for people that's listening, they like, oh, I have even more to learn, too. So we all learn together up in this bitch. But I'm just so happy to be a part of this community and being represented so well. It's just, it's everything I live for it. So if you haven't listened to Renaissance Act One by Beyonce, just give it a cute run through, baby, a cute 1, 2, 3. It's everything. It's only going to take about an hour. And the transitions between them are flawless. I tweeted something like, these transitions between these songs are so fucking smooth. She basically yelled trans rights on this mic, honey. Like, she yelled it. The transitions are so smooth. Like, you can walk up to the DJ and be like, just play Renaissance from the top down. And you gonna have a cute bop the whole time. Ain't no, it's great. Very well done. It doesn't sound like anything she's ever done ever before. And I love that about Beyonce. She doesn't do the same thing twice. So she told a whole story, gave a whole vibe, gave a whole feeling for the entire album. It's everything. And I feel like this is probably what Drake wanted to have the impact of. And sorry, Miss Thing, you can't give it like Queen Mother can. She has the tap. She has the resources. And she has the ability to do that. I'm like, your audience is not the same as hers. So you was not going to be able to pull it like this. So you cute for that, Drake, but you couldn't give it. Anyway, we're going to take a small break. I'm going to start playing Renaissance. I'm going to play Pure/Honey. Baby, just listen to this on the outro, and we're going to come back and talk about a couple more things that are really exciting for Black queer people, specifically Black trans people.
Check my technique. Coming from my technique. You wanna feel my technique? It's pure. Bad bitches to the left. Money bitches to the right. You can be bold, meet in the middle, dance all night.
Miss Honey. Honey, honey, honey. Okay, we are back, y'all. That's the end of Pure Honey. It's like, Miss Honey. That's Boy Renee giving us Miss Honey. Oh, I live. I live. I live. This album is so sickening. Y'all go check it out, please. Okay, but I do have some other exciting news. As indicated in our title, not only are we going to talk about Beyonce's album Renaissance, but we're going to talk about the new movie that has just come out. It's on Amazon, so definitely go check it out. It is called Anything's Possible, and I am so excited that this film is out. So this is a coming-of-age story, relationship, high school rom-com moment. Which is directed by Billy Porter, for which, you know, I'll give him his flowers for that, so I appreciate it. But this movie is starring and centering around the experience of a young trans girl who lives in Philly and a boy who is interested in being in relationship with her in high school, like giving us present day type tease. And so I'm gonna give spoilers. So this is your moment. This is your moment right now, honey. I'm giving spoilers. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. I am giving spoilers. This is your moment to leave. All right, so if you're still here, you want the spoilers. So. Yeah, I'm not going to try to go too much into detail as much as I can, but it's a great movie. Mab and I watched it a few weeks ago, and we loved it. And as a trans woman, if I had this love and this support that... Oh, God, okay. This movie is everything. So, you know, this, so there's an, so the young actress who plays the main character, the main character's name is Kelsa, but Ava Rain is the young woman who plays Kelsa. And then I'm going to, hope I can say this child's name right, Abu Bakar, perhaps, Ali, is who plays Khalid in the movie. And so they're the two main characters. And essentially what happens is like, oh, he meets her and everybody knows that she's trans, but he likes her. So blah, 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 blah. He goes up and he gets to know her. Woo, 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 woo. And everyone in the high school is talking and sending messages. And they're just like, oh my God, is he gay now? And all this kind of stuff. I don't want to give everything away, but you know, they have traditional relationship things, but there are added things to the conversation because of her trans identity. And this is a great way for people to be understand how relationships with trans people work and how they operate and what is required of particularly cishet people who want to be in relationship with us. These are some things you're going to have to face and going to have to endure. For example, Kyle, the guy that likes Kelsa, you know, his best friend does like a Q180 on him, is like, are you gay? Like, nigga, you gay? And he's like, no. And but they weren't having a conversation about it. I'm like, y'all could have resolved this if y'all just fucking talked. And then of course the best friend was being shady. And then Kelsa had her best friend, who is stunning. The girl who plays her what's her name? Courtney Carter. This girl, they painted her. Let me tell y'all, the outfits that this young woman had on, dark skin, gorgeous young woman. She had different hairstyles. She was giving it. Whoever was in her wardrobe and doing her glam, they need a raise. She had the most beautiful eye makeup. She had the most beautiful garb on. Sis was stunning, period. Like, stunning. Like, I can't even let y'all, I can't even explain to y'all how stunning she was. So there was some drama and conflama between Kelsa and M, that character I just talked about. There was drama and conflama because of woo, 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 woo. And so it, you know, escalated, got out of hand. So Kelsa had to start using the other restroom in some dingy place and da-da-da-da-da. And then Kelsa's mama, who is played by Renee Elise Goldsberry, who also was, who sung Satisfied on Hamilton. That actress who Billy Porter had known for years, oh baby, she had to get Miss M's mama together. It was a great scene. I love that scene when she had to get her best friend's mama together. Everything, live for that. And on Kyle's side, like his family. And so my favorite part about this, and this is gonna sound so shady, there was like maybe two white people in this movie. No shade, like, okay, maybe three. Like the art teacher, the principal, and the other best friend of Kelsa M, and whatever the other girl name is. But, you know, she was at least a fun, edgy white girl. She had different wigs, and she was giving us variety. So, you know, very that. And she was one of those liberation girls where she was like, I'm gonna fight for my friends, the fuck, da-da-da-da-da. Like, she's that girl. So it was fine, but it was like, the main characters, the whole plot line was revolving around people of color, and Mab and I were like, this is sickening, I love this, we need more of this. And it basically shows in the storyline that people can, you know, trans youth, firstly, exist, and then secondly, that their experiences are valid and they can have relationships with their peers and stuff like that. You know, it's so viable, it's so possible, and you have to allow these kids to be able to have the normalcy of cishet people. You know, you have to have that, allow them to have the normalcy. I understand that there's fear and there's anxiety and there's stress. But if you keep these kids sheltered in and boxed in and you're so fearful of them and all this kind of stuff, they're going to internally combust. And that's how we have trigger warning. That's how we have so many, you know, young trans, specifically trans masculine kids and non-binary kids who are more on the masculine side, like committing suicide. you have to let these kids express and be free to do what they're going to do. And it's our job as, you know, queer elders and trans elders to lead these kids down the path that they're supposed to be going down. It's our job to be doing that. And then it's also the responsibility of the parents. You, as a parent, when you get pregnant and when you decide you want to have a family, when you want to have a baby, you don't get to decide how the child's going to show up. You put your pieces together and then boom, here's a child. You can't live vicariously through the child. They have their own life, their own destiny, their own things to do. And because you don't get to choose it, I know it's complicated and you want to protect your child, but you have to let them be their own person. And you as an adult, it's time for you to step your pussy up and learn about this world and how the kids maneuver and operate in it. I saw some of my little cousins that, you know, I've never met them, but they're like teenage, you know, middle school age girls. And I don't know if they've ever met a trans person, but I'm talking to them. So, and, you know, getting to know these young girls, you know, they like 12 and 13 and 15, you know, they sweet young girls. And they just talking to me like regular, degular type tees. You have to show these kids they can be anybody and anything that they want to be. And that also that trans people are nothing to be afraid of. You know, so I don't know if I'm the first trans person that they ever met, but you know, we just gonna talk. We gonna get to know each other. You have to trust these kids. They're a lot smarter than we give them credit for. A lot smarter. So intelligent. But anyway, the story is so good. It's very cliche, you know, very rom-com, but for kids, it's very appropriate. Nothing explicit happens or anything like that. There are no boundaries crossed. It's very well done. I was very pleased. So I just want to play this one segment where Kelsa's mom was talking to her about her experience and her and the way that her father and all that kind of stuff has interacted and impacted her life. It's just give it a listen. It's about 50 seconds. So listen to this, y'all. This shit made me want to fucking cry. I think I fucking did lose it. Man, I probably was just like, damn, this bitch is crying. I'm just like, this is what I needed to hear when I was little. This was my everything. I actually sent this to my mama earlier. But y'all listen to this. She delivered this. Listen.
Are the one thing we got right. And what's happening now? With him not choosing to be in your life? That is his mistake. That is his choice, his loss. But I choose you. I choose you. Who you were then, who you are now.
Law of averages!
Law of averages is a fallacy. It's not real. You can say it as many times as you want to, but you are not average. You are exceptional. You are my incredibly exceptional, beautiful daughter. And what is unique about you does not make you hard to love. For anyone that is worthy of you, you are the easiest thing to love in the world.
Y'all, baby, let me have heard that when I was a child. Let me have heard it. I would have lived. I would have lived. I would have lived. I would have lived. God. But It's a great movie, you know, again, very cliche, very like, okay, these are teenagers, but just the simple storytelling of allowing a cishet man be in a relationship with a young trans girl, and they go through all the typical things you might think that they might have to go through. But at the end, it all is going to, of course, work itself out because you have to have a conflict and then you have to have conversation, then you have to have growth and change. It's like everyone is so afraid of that challenge part. They're so afraid of that dialogue, that confusion, that fear, that anxiety around it. Girl, you need to have it in order for you to grow. You know, what do they say? Like plants don't grow in the air. They grow in the dirt. The dirt is not clean. But you pour a little water on it, put some tears on that shit, and you start growing some plants, and you start getting you a garden. And y'all seem to be afraid of having that dialogue and having that dirt on y'all. Wipe that shit off, put some tears on it, and it's going to grow, and it's going to blossom. It's going to be beautiful. So I want to thank Billy Porter. I want to thank Ava Rain and Abubakar Ali, and then Renee Elise Goldsberg. Y'all delivered this movie the way I needed it to be delivered. You know, I don't know if it'll be winning any Pulitzers or anything like that, but it's literally everything. It's on Amazon. Y'all go check it out. It's really, really everything. Yes, 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 yes. So we're going to take another small quick break, and we're going to come back to some shit that has been, that gave me my life last week. Like, baby. Okay, we're going to take a small break. Hold on, y'all. All right, y'all, we are back for the last segment of this episode, and I want to talk about the Women's March Organization. So, of course, the Women's March has been doing their work for 5 years approximately, basically kind of like after the Trump election and la, 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 and, you know, all the pussy hats and all that kind of stuff, you know, giving all that energy. And so, of course, with the recent overturn of Roe v. Wade, there has been lots of, you know, obviously tweets and conversations about a multitude of things. And so, lots of discourse, lots of dialogue and things like that. But someone recently, I don't even care about the person, but, you know, the Women's March logo has silhouettes of three different, you know, people, particularly three different women, hypothetically. One is blue, and then the next one, the middle is white, and the other one is blue. And there has been people, like, tweeting it, saying, like, there are men in this post, there are men in this picture, and I'm just like, what? And there have been plenty of people in the comments being like, I have that face shape. I have that face shape and I'm a woman. And they're like, no, that's just a man dressed up as a woman. Trans women aren't real and all that kind of stuff. And then there were like cis women like, I have that nose. You know, the bigger eagle type of nose. It's not the cute, dainty us white woman nose or whatever. And see, this is why I be trying to tell people is like, these little binaries and these little boxes that you want to put people in, they not all gonna fit in there. There are gonna be cis women who do not look like that. And so they going off an image of a silhouette of a fake person on a logo. And they were just mad because it looked like a man. And they were just like, how does it look like a man? There's no features. It's just a silhouette. And they're just... Girl, they are upset, honey. And so they were going on and on and on, you know, going back and forth with the Twitter account about women's rights and things like that. And men are coming in, and you know, these are just basically TERFs. And we've talked about TERFs before: trans, exclusionary, radical, feminists. You know, women, particularly cis women who don't want anything to do with, particularly trans women. And don't want anything to do with non-binary AFAB people and, you know, trans men, because, you know, there's that. But anyway, they had got enough, girl. And so the Women's March Twitter account tweeted out they tweeted out on July 20th, trans women are women. That's it. That's the tweet. And baby... The TERFs were out. They were just like, oh, no, 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 no. So what you want to do is not necessarily what you're gonna do. And there are so many TERFs in the comments trying to... There are almost 14,000 comments and such and so forth, like trying to get them together and all that stuff. It's hilarious. And so, you know, obviously in the last few weeks, we've had that lovely meme that I'm already tired of called Little Miss, where people just be like, Little Miss this and Little Miss that. And so the next day they responded with a picture of one of the little cartoon characters. And it says, Little Miss fuck the TERFs. And they tweeted that to everybody in the comments section. And they was like, stay mad. I'm like, work. I live for this. The Women's March is not trying to give in to you girls. I'm like, we are part of the conversation too. And again, why do you want to separate yourself from other people in your community? We're just different types of women. And even then, there are going to be men and non-binary folks who are going to support the womanist and feminist movement for liberation and things like that. Why are you trying to, girl, and don't let me even get started at 51%. And then the next time, 52% of these white women done voted for that orange Cheeto a few times, we ain't forget. Talking about like pussy bites back. Girl, half of y'all, two white hoes standing next to each other. One of you girls voted for that motherfucker. So which one is it? All right. See, y'all just want to give up from up under patriarchy, but y'all still want to be transphobic. Y'all still want to be racist. Ooh, it's not a good look, honey. It's not the look you think it is. And it was just a cute kiki. It took me exactly where I wanted to go. So I'm just going to read a couple of the things on the Women's March website. Like, they have this shit on their website. So underneath their vision, this is what they have to say. So underneath their mission, they say, the mission of Women's March is to harness the political power of diverse women and their communities to create transformative social change. Women's March is a women-led movement providing intersectional education on a diverse range of issues and creating entry points for new grassroots activists and organizers to engage in their local communities through trainings, outreach programs, and events. Women's March is committed to dismantling systems of oppression, that sounds familiar, through nonviolent resistance and building inclusive structures guided by self-determination, dignity, and respect. There's so many key words. Intersectional. We've talked about intersectionality on a previous episode. I think in our first season, we talked about intersectionality. So if you're, again, if you are like, yes, women all the way, but not those women, I'm like, you can't say not those women, girl. You can't say not trans women. You can't say not the non-binary AFAB people. You can't say the black women. You can't say not the Latina women. You can't, girl, what? How you gonna pick and choose which women you want to like help fight for this cause? Like, if we all fighting for it, why are we fighting each other? Question mark? Now, I've already explained that I know a lot, especially a lot of cis white women and some cis black women and stuff. I know that y'all really want to get from up under the patriarchy, but turning to your sisters and punching us don't do shit. It's like those white men in the Supreme Court took some rights away from y'all, and then you turn to us and go, see, this is your fault. And it's like, girl, what? We did, girl, it's very that. Get yourself together, honey, because it's not that. Definitely not that. Like, right. It's not that. So let me see. So they are dedicated, and their strategic framework is promoting feminist economies, reimagining democracy, ending white supremacy. It's kind of like they have the same values and trajectory as the point of this podcast. So we're on the right side, it says here. So their values come from folks like bell hooks. If you don't know who Bell Hooks is, you might want to look them up. And then Fannie Lou Hamer. Might want to look her up too if you don't know who she is. There's so much involved in here that people are going to have to know and going to have to understand. So I have yet to understand why you want to exclude people from your conversation. And like I always say, as it pertains to health and that kind of stuff. Yes, you can have that. As a trans woman, I know I need to take a step back and be like, okay, yes, how can I help you fight for liberation and autonomy over your body? Because ultimately what they want to do at the crux of it is have control over everybody's body. So no one can have self-agency. They want to be able to do that. And so as a trans woman, I'm underneath that. If they're taking away abortion rights and other things like that, they're going to try to take away birth control, which is connected to hormones, which is what the fuck I need to be myself and to be comfortable and affirmed. And then they might start regulating other medications like HIV medications, like retroviral drugs and PrEP and stuff like that. we need to have agency over ourselves, and we can't be turning to each other fighting and ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ki-ki-ka-ka. We can't be doing all that. We got to work together. So, sis, I'm on your side. There's no part of me that's trying to get in your way. How can I help you? That's what I'm going to ask you. And you turn to me and say, how can I help you? This is what we need, blah, 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 blah. This is what you need, blah, blah, blah. Okay, where do these overlap? How can we work together and going forward? So, I don't get it, you know. So, shout out to the Women's March. Y'all doing shit right. Over there and being more inclusive, being intersectional, because that's what we need. But anyway, I just wanted to have some joy on the episode. Obviously, I was here by myself, but this required its own episode. This was so much joy, so much fun. The Women's March tweets and being supportive and intersectional is so important. The Anything's Possible film on Amazon, beautiful, fantastic. And of course, the Renaissance album from Queen Mother Beyonce. And so, I want to thank y'all so much for tuning into these episodes we've been doing. We have, what episodes is 92? There's only 8 more episodes. Well, 7 technically, I guess. 7 until we get to 100 episodes. I'm gagged that we have this many episodes. I am so honored and so blessed and so privileged to be able to have this dialogue and be able to have this platform to have these conversations. We are going to have some heavier topics coming up here, of course. So we'll definitely put out trigger warnings so people can protect and shield themselves. Mab is on vacation. Shout out to Mab. I love you so much. But he's going to be back and we're going to have some really deep conversations and stuff, you know. And of course, we're going to have another episode in the future where we're going to have, you know, the Kiki catch up, which y'all love so much. Y'all run that one up. Y'all really love that one. And then, you know, the series of Black men who are attracted to trans women, that series will continue. I'm not sure if it'll continue over to season 3. It's hard to kind of pull niggas out to have these conversations because they be scared and nervous and sometimes they're not as articulate as they want to be. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. It might not trickle over, but if y'all want it, I can try to make it work. But anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and play Alien Superstar so y'all can hear this track of course of Black queer people and that Beyonce has backed. And thank y'all so much for tuning into this episode. I love you. I love you. Please be safe. Please take care of yourselves. Again, if you feel the need to, please continue to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated from Miss Rona. But don't play around with Mojo Jojo because I have seen some very scary images. So I've already been vaccinated. If you haven't, please do. They're trying to make it an MSM, men who have sex with men, a gay thing similar to the HIV and AIDS crisis and stuff like that. It's not that everybody can get it. It's like Miss Rona, except, you know. It's take care of yourself. Go get the vaccine if you're able to. Do your research and so on and so forth. But anyway, I love you all. Take care. And here is Alien Superstar.
Thank you all so much for tuning into Black to the Future.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And if you want to continue the conversation with us, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Black to the Future Podcast.
And don't forget to use the hashtag Black to the Future Podcast as well. Share the content and please leave positive reviews.
Yeah, all that. And we will see y'all in the future.
Don't you mean Black to the Future?
Oop, I guess you're right. We'll see y'all
Black to the Future.